Hello. Been watching a lot of YouTube videos about Lancashire accent. Lancashire, actually not Lancashire, it's Lancashire. I've learned things today. And now I feel empowered to take on the wonderful voice of Algernon Longbottom. We'll see how we get on, all right? Oh, there is no time. There's no. What is it in the fucking call? There is no time that this happens. It's just whenever I feel like it, like. Hello. Not actually. It's there's probably some overlap because, of course, the more northern you get in England, the closer you get to Scotland, obviously. But Lancashire is not all that north. It is north, but it's not quite that north. The L is similar to some Scottish L's. I'm just gonna do the fucking chapter on it. Once I get an accent stuck in my head, it's very fun to just keep on doing it. Check that chat. This one here. All right. Chapter 15. Meet the Longbottoms, Part 1. No, sorry, that's not the right name. Chapter 14. Meet the Longbottoms, Part 1. When Neville Longbottom was 2 years old, Algy Longbottom was annoyed. When his children had been young, it had fallen to his late wife, Wendy, to tend to them while he worked long hours building his meager inheritance into a small fortune. Well, to be fair, meager and small were relative terms. Algy was still rather prosperous compared to most wizards, and his inheritance had given him a substantial leg up in the world. Still, his holdings were nothing compared to the Longbottom estate that went to his older brother, the late Lord Archimedes Francisco Archie Longbottom. But that wasn't what annoyed Algy. Archie married Augusta Crouch, Gussie within the family, in 1953. Their son, Frank, was born in December of 57 and displayed his first bit of accidental magic at 18 months. And that was that, as far as Algy was concerned. Archie and Gussie had their heir presumptive, so, barring mishap, Algy was on his own. With children of his own to feed, he put his nose to the grindstone to build up something for himself and his family, all the while knowing that little Frank's life was assured. But that wasn't what annoyed Algy. But that wasn't what annoyed Algy. In 1972, there was a particularly nasty dragonpox outbreak that claimed Wendy and Archie both. Due to Frank's age at the time, there was a 3-month period in which Algy had been called to serve as Regent Longbottom until the boy turned 15 and could provisionally claim his lordship. Upon doing so, Lord Francisco Claudius Longbottom shook his uncle's hand warmly and gave him a small brass plaque. "To Algernon Longbottom, in appreciation for services rendered," it read. From that day to the present, the two would talk no more than a dozen times, the last of which was when Frank politely but firmly denied a request to... Yeah. The last of which was when Frank politely but firmly denied a request to sponsor Algy's son into the ministry because his grades just aren't high enough. But that wasn't what annoyed Algy. But that wasn't what annoyed Algy. In 1981, Death Eaters attacked Longbottom Manor and placed both its lord and its lady under the Cruciatus Curse for so long that both of them were driven mad and had to be committed to St. Mungo's. Augusta was named as the custodial guardian to their infant son, Neville, but Wizengamot law decreed that Algy would be the Longbottom regent. It seemed that arrogant fool Frank hadn't bothered to make a will, and so the Wizengamot had exercised its discretion to appoint Algy as regent because if the boy was a squib or for some reason didn't make it to his 15th birthday, Algy was next in line of succession and so should be acquainted with the house's affairs. The most likely scenario, however, was that Algy was now committed to 15 years of thankless drudgery managing someone else's estates while his managing someone else's estates while his own languished. He stoically accepted the regency and then turned control of most of his own businesses over to his son Reginald, who he hoped was up to the challenge. But that wasn't what annoyed Algy. What annoyed Algy was that the brat wouldn't stop crying. He'd grudgingly agreed to take the boy for today because Gussie wanted to visit Frank and Alice in St. Mungo's and felt Neville was too young to go. Unfortunately, Neville was asleep when she dropped him off, and so she did not realize that she had left Ebby behind. Algy didn't know who or what Ebby was and didn't much care, but it was apparently so essential to the brat's happiness that he'd started crying immediately upon waking up in his playpen and seeing that Ebby wasn't there to greet him. And he had been crying for over an hour now, despite the best efforts of Algy's house elves to entertain him, wailing over and over, "What, Ebby?" While Algy tried to ignore the noise and get back to balancing the books for one of the farms he was now managing on the brat's account. Then suddenly there was a soft pop, and Neville's wailing abruptly ceased. Curious, Algy went down to the hall to the living room where Neville and his playpen had been deposited. The boy was still there, giggling softly while clutching a soft black teddy bear with baby blue glass eyes. Neville looked up at Algy and smiled.
"Ebby!"
he exclaimed. Algy looked at the bear, and then to Neville, and then back again.
"Naturally," he said quietly. "Lobby, did you or any of the other elves summon that bear?"
"No, Master Algy. Little Master Neville wish really hard for his Ebby, and it just come to him."
Naturally, said Algy again. Return to your other duties, all of you. You're not needed here."
The three house elves nodded and popped away. Algy stared at the stuffed animal. He remembered it well, of course. Its name wasn't Ebby, that was just the child's way of saying Elby, or more accurately, LB for Longbottom, Archie Longbottom. Oh, for Longbottom. Archie Longbottom had owned LB when he'd just been a child. Archie Longbottom had owned LB when he'd been a child, and as had his father and... Oh, I see, okay. Archie Longbottom had owned LB when he'd been a child, as had his father and grandfather before him. When Archie had turned 17, he decided he was too old for a stuffed bear and gave it to Algy as a birthday present.
Yeah.
And when Algy had gotten a little older, he too had put it aside. But even as a child, he hoped he someday might gift it to children of his own, just as it had been gifted to him. That hope ended the day Archie had popped in for a visit and idly asked if he could get LB back as a present for Frank. Algy explained that he'd already given it to his own newborn son, Reginald. Archie replied that, as a newborn, Reginald would hardly miss it. Algy pointedly reminded Archie... Ar, nah. Algy, Algie, oh my god, this is going to be a trial. Algie pointedly reminded Archie that he himself had given it to Algie as a birthday gift. Archie explained that it had been... Archie answered that it had been a gift he'd made at the age of 7 before he'd realized it was something to pass from father to son. Algie answered rather coldly that he hadn't realized that a particular children's toy was somehow magically entailed as part of the lordship's bounty. Things quickly escalated to shouting on both sides before Algie finally stormed up to his son's nursery. Snatched up LB and practically threw it at his brother, telling him to get out and he hoped his little monster choked on one of LB's glass eyes. Shocked, Archie left quickly, and the two brothers didn't speak again until the following Christmas, when Archie sent a veritable flock of stuffed animals for both Reginald and his newborn sister Enid, but not LB, of course, and a letter of apology to Algie. For the sake of his children, who he thought might someday need the support of the Lord of... For the sake of his children, who he thought might someday need the support of the Lord of House Longbottom, Algie accepted the apology, and his relations with Archie mostly mended. But he never forgot the incident and what it meant. That he would always be the second brother, entitled to nothing from the Longbottom name, save a lump sum financial payment left to him purely out of... Entitled to nothing from the Longbottom name save a lump sum financial payment left to him purely out of a vague sense of parental obligation. No estates, no trust vaults, no heirlooms, not even a stuffed teddy bear to pass on to his son. Not even a stuffed teddy bear to pass on to his son. And now the final insult. Neville was indisputably a wizard, and Algie was the witness for it. Because he'd just seen the brat summon LB through accidental magic, presumably all the way from Longbottom Manor in Lancashire. Neville was a wizard, and so Neville was the heir presumptive. And thus Algie's lot in life now was to manage Neville's estates and assets until the brat was old enough to claim them for himself, at which point he would probably give Algie a brass plaque to match the other one Frank had given him years before. Archie stared for a long time at the adorable infant and his stuffed bear, and then something inside him snapped like a twig in a heavy ice storm.
No, no, you little brat. It won't be that easy for you.
No, that's not right.
No, you little brat. It won't be that easy for you. And I certainly won't let you beat me with the help of that thing. Evanesco!
There was a flash as the teddy bear vanished out of Neville's arms, startling the child. But before he could start crying again, Algie's wand flashed a second time.
Obliviate. You will forget about Elby. You will forget that you ever had a bear that looked anything like Elby.
He paused as a vicious gleam came into his eyes.
But you will remember that there was once something you loved that you have now lost forever. And you will remember that the reason you lost it is because you wished for it too hard.
Little Neville shook his head for a few seconds and then crawled over to play with some blocks, with a strange look on his face, as if he were sad but didn't know why. Later, when Augusta returned, Algie told her that Neville had been a perfect angel. And that she shouldn't hesitate to ask him to babysit whenever she needed a break. He also reminded her to be on the lookout for signs of accidental magic, because Neville was getting to that age. The next day, Algie went to Flourish and Blotts, and purchased and purchased several books on squibs and the latest theories about what caused them. Brief note, it is Floris and Blotts, right? It says bots all through this. It totally is Blotts, right? Yeah, okay. I was almost certain. Ooh, that's a nice crown today. Let's see. Okay.
When Neville was 3 years old, Algy had been visiting Longbottom Manor for a week, as was his right as Longbottom Regent. On the fourth day there, he was in a sitting room reading the Daily Prophet when he felt a small hand tug on his pants leg. When he felt a small hand tug on his pants leg, it was the brat.
"Well, hello there, little Neville," Algy said with false kindness. "What can I do for you?"
"Will you read Baba Rab to me, Uncle Algy? Will you read Baba Rab to me, Uncle Algy?"
"Babbity rabbits, you mean? Well, where is it, Neville?"
"Baba Rab on the shelf in library. Baba Rab on the shelf in library."
The child replied.
"Why don't you show me?" Algy asked.
And with that, the toddler led his great uncle to the nearby library, where Neville pointed to a book on a middle shelf. Algy noted that the bookshelf was freestanding instead of mounted to the wall, and his eyes gleamed.
"Oh, that's not too high, Neville. You can reach it. Show me how big and brave you are, just like your dad was. Just like your dad was. Just like your dad was. Just like your dad was."
Algy smiled at Neville, who looked back up at the tall shelf nervously. Then he waddled over and, after a bit of hesitation, tried to climb up to the third shelf. Just as he reached the edge where the Babbity Rabbit book was, Algy pulled out his wand.
"This is for you, Reginald," he whispered as he cast a spell at the heavy bookcase, which suddenly tipped over onto Neville.
The toddler fell to the floor with the bookcase poised to crush him, when suddenly it froze in midair and then tipped back into place, with all the books and knickknacks that had been on it snapping back into place as if they'd never moved, all except the Babbity Rabbit book, which Neville proudly clutched in his hands. Algy stared at Neville with his eyes wide in astonishment. Then from some distance away he heard Augusta call out,
"Algy, what was that noise? Is Neville getting into mischief?"
"It was nothing, Gussie. It was nothing, Gussie."
Then he hissed out a strong memory charm to make Neville forget what had just happened, followed maliciously by a mild stinging hex on the boy's bottom. Neville soon began crying. Just as Algy put his wand away, Augusta came around the corner.
"It looks like Neville tried to climb up the bookshelf to get his Babbity Rabbit book and then fell on his bum. No harm done."
Augusta swept into the room and picked the child up off the floor to console him.
"Neville, I've told you. Don't try to climb the furniture. You could have pulled the whole thing down on your head. Get someone to hand you things you can't reach."
Why is she Irish? Why is she mildly Irish? She should be RP, because she's not from Lancashire. She's a Crouch, which probably means she's from London. I don't really care, but...
"Neville, I've told you. Don't try to climb the furniture. Don't try to climb the furniture."
Why can't I do a standard British anymore? Hang on. There's my cat.
Neville, I've told you. Don't try to climb the furniture. You could have pulled the whole thing down on your head. Get someone to hand you things you can't reach."
"Ah, kitty. I love you. Either lay down and be quiet or... There you go. Okay, you're asleep. That's okay."
Or perhaps even summon them to you with magic. Or perhaps even summon them to you with magic, said Algy brightly, but Augusta just gave him a dirty look, while Neville sobbed softly.
Don't give me that look, Gussie. The boy's three. Frank had toys flying around the house at that age. Has he shown any signs of accidental magic at all?
She hesitated. No, but he's still a child, Algy.
Well, he won't be one forever, Augusta. If he hasn't shown any magic by the time he's four, we may need to...
He hesitated as Augusta gave him a nearly homicidal glare, and then smiled winningly at the child and his guardian.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I suppose.
Oh, God. Turbine, I'm so sorry. Is any of this even, like, slightly... Yes, that is the accent I am. Word choice is very good there. Trying to do. That is definitely an accurate representation of what's going on right here. Yeah, how is this? I watched 3 YouTube videos before I did this. Oh, she typing, folks. She typing up a storm. Terrified. Oh, that makes me feel very good. Yeah, Neville is... Okay, so I've mentioned in here a few times before. I am the editor of a podcast called Sonic the Comic the Podcast, which is about the British Sonic comics from the 90s. I'm not even a fan of Sonic. I just know one of the guys, and I enjoy the podcast, even though I don't like Sonic. Neville's voice, especially here, but, like, Neville's voice anyway is just my impression of their voice when they read Tails in that.
Like, hello, I'm Tails.
Like, not quite as cockney as that, but, like... No, yeah, that's entirely fair, Cochran. I am doing this project. One of the big reasons I'm doing this project is to learn a lot of these accents and make myself do it. So I can do RP okay. I can do Cockney. I'm actually very confident in my Cockney, but like all the rest of them, I'm just kind of like, oh, I can sort of do that. I can do an Irish if I rewatch Father Ted. Like I can then do an Irish accent, but not if I haven't just watched Father Ted, kind of thing. Yes, I will. Yeah, I haven't really decided, Augusta, because I thought she was going to have the same accent as Algy, but then. I saw at the beginning of this chapter that she is Augusta Crouch. She's not from Lancashire. She's from wherever the Crouches are from, which I'm just guessing is London. Of the two Crouches in the movies, one of them was David Tennant, and he's Scottish, but I don't think he was doing his real voice. I think he was just doing like his, you know, Doctor Who voice or whatever, which is just like a somewhat kind of sort of Cockney London kind of thing. But I don't know where Crouch Senior's from, and if I don't know where they're from, it's probably just gonna be RP. Yeah.
Hang on, I know. Didn't Crouch's actor play somebody else big, like in Game of Thrones or something?
Oh, whatever. I'm just getting off the fucking topic. Fuck was I?
Yeah, that was David Tennant. The fuck is Gangsta Granny?
I am tempted. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the series Harlots on Hulu. But it's about like Victorian, I wanna say, like it's about a Victorian whorehouse, and one of the, like, in the first episode, the madam of the house has been like called to court just over, like, it's just like harassment because it's obviously a whorehouse and everything, and she's yelling, and it's like a full-on Molly Weasley style, I pay my taxes, and I might do something like that for Augusta. I don't fucking know. I don't know what Gangsta Granny is, but I do know what fucking Mr. Blobby is, so chew on that. And don't I wish I didn't. Okay, where the fuck was I in this? Oh, right. I was at a thing. Okay.
When Neville was 4 years old. It was a beautiful spring day as little Neville Longbottom dashed across a sunlit field. Sunlit field has to be. It was a beautiful spring day as little Neville Longbottom dashed across a sunlit field in pursuit of a brilliant, colorful butterfly. It was no ordinary butterfly, however. Indeed, it was no butterfly at all, but an illusion created and controlled by Algy, who watched from a distance as the butterfly construct danced and wove just out of Neville's reach. Step by step, the butterfly led Neville closer and closer to Greenhouse 4. The whole Longbottom family had come for a weekend getaway at the summer home in Wales, which was situated on a working farm where various magical plants and animals were raised. Greenhouse 4 was a large, secured structure where the dangerous plants were housed, plants that were poisonous, carnivorous, or both. Normally, Greenhouse, point of order, well, he probably does mean poisonous, because venomous and poisonous are two different than whatever. Normally, Greenhouse 4 was kept locked down, but unfortunately, Catesby, the chief gardener, was getting on in years and didn't remember to lock up. Particularly not after he had been hit with a Confundus curse, which was why the door was currently wide open. The magical butterfly continued its flight, leading little Neville straight into Greenhouse 4. Algy took a deep breath and braced himself for the screams.
"It's all for you, Reginald," he whispered,
but the screams never came. Instead, he could barely hear a soft, childish giggling. Swiftly, he ran to Greenhouse 4 and through the doorway.
Inside, he was stunned by the scene, as Neville was laughing in delight, while two devil's snares tossed him back and forth and caught him as if they were playing a game. And in the background, an entire row of venomous tentacula were brushing their vines back and forth against each other as if they were... clapping? Algy wiped his eyes as though he might be hallucinating. Then he drew Neville to his arms with a summoning charm. At that point, the plants of Greenhouse 4 registered their disapproval by lashing out towards Algy with a dozen deadly vines. He slammed the door shut, and then hit it with his strongest locking spell as the aggressive plants bashed against the door repeatedly.
That was fun, said Neville
gleefully. Algy looked down at his excited nephew, who seemed no worse for the wear. For his time spent surrounded by some of the deadliest plants in the world. He snarled at the boy. Obliviate. When Neville Longbottom was 7, Algy watched from a distance through his omnioculars as Augusta led her grandson down the Blackpool Promenade. His birthday had coincided with a weekend, so she'd taken the boy to Blackpool to see the Muggle Zoo and amusement park, and to reminisce about days gone by. Her first date with Archie was to Blackpool Tower. Her first date with Archie was to Blackpool Tower the summer after their 5th year. Decades later, Frank had carried Alice to Blackpool for their honeymoon. It had been a long, hot day, so Augusta and Neville stopped off at a malt shop and then sat down at a table outside to drink their milkshakes. After a few seconds, Augusta leaned over to her grandson.
Neville, I need to step into the ladies' powder room for just a few minutes. Can I trust you to wait here till I get back? Yes, Gran, he said. Yes, Gran, he said. He said
respectfully. Wrapped up in Notice Me Not and Muggle Repelling Charms, Algy glided through the Muggle crowd like a shark until he was standing behind the oblivious Neville. He placed his wand just behind the boy's head.
Obliviate, he whispered. Your grandmother has stepped away for a while, but she said to watch. But she said to watch for your Uncle Algy to come for you.
Neville's head wavered back and forth for a few seconds. Then Algy tapped him on the shoulder, and the boy jerked in surprise, and then looked up. And the boy jerked in surprise, and then looked up at his great uncle and regent.
Uncle Algy, I didn't see you there. Uncle Algy, I didn't see you there,
the boy said timidly. Algy smiled. If nothing else, all the memory charms were wrecking the boy's confidence.
Quite all right, my boy. But we need to move along now. We're in a bit of a hurry.
But Gran.
She knows where we're going and we'll catch us up. Now don't dawdle.
With that, the boy stood up and took Algy's hand. The older wizard led the boy away quickly before his grandmother could return. A few minutes later, they were walking down Blackpool Pier, taking in the sights. At the end of the pier, Algy put up some stronger muggle repelling charms to keep anyone from interfering.
Now, Neville, I brought you here for a very important reason. Can you guess what it is?
The boy shook his head no.
Well, today it is your 7th birthday, and that's a very important magical number. You see, it's very unusual and very troubling that you haven't shown any magic yet. Your gran is afraid that you might be a squib, and as your regent, that's something I have to be concerned about. Do you know what a squib is, Neville?
The boy, the boy, the, The boy nodded sadly.
It's a wizarding child with no magic. Does Gran really think I'm a squib?
Yes, Neville. She's told me so many times. But if you're very brave, we can prove her wrong. Can you be brave for me? Just like your mum and dad were.
God, he's such a fucking piece of shit. It's really fun. It's so terrible, though.
The boy nodded again, this time urgently.
I'll do whatever you say if it will show I have magic, Uncle Algy.
Good, good. Now, one last question, Neville. Can you swim? The boy barely had time to shake his head no before Algy snatched him up and threw him off the pier. Neville hit the water with a loud splash and immediately cried out, but with the charms Algy had set up, no one could hear him.
It's all right, Neville, don't panic. Just relax and let the magic happen.
Algy smiled at the drowning boy. That was, of course, the worst possible advice to give to a drowning wizarding child, as accidental magic was most likely to occur while the child was in a state of panic. Of course, it was unlikely the boy could even hear Algy over the pounding surf watching over him, filling his mouth and nose with seawater. Neville's head went underwater once, twice, thrice, and then suddenly his whole body rose out of the water, lifted on a swirling water spout. Neville coughed out some seawater and then looked around in amazement.
I'm doing it, Uncle Algy! I'm doing it, Uncle Algy!
Oh my god, stop texting me! Oh my god.
I'm doing it, Uncle Algy! I'm doing magic!
He cried out. He cried out joyfully.
Naturally, naturally, muttered Algy.
Then he gave a casual flick of his wand and whispered the word,
Lassero. Lassero.
And a cutting curse sliced clean through the bottom of the waterspout, disrupting it. Neville yelled in a panic as he plunged back into the churning waters of the Irish Sea. He bobbed back up after a few seconds, coughing up seawater once more.
Uncle Algy, help!
It's all right, lad, you're doing fine!
He wasn't, of course. The boy was clearly on the verge of drowning. Then, to Algy's consternation, the boy started rising up out of the water again. Algy prepared another cutting curse. Algy prepared another cutting curse when he was distracted by a woman's voice screaming Neville's name. He turned around and saw Augusta running as fast as she could towards the end of the pier, her wand already out. The wizard cursed her timing. He could destroy the second waterspout, but there was no way the boy would drown before Gussie arrived to save him. He could destroy the second waterspout, but there was no way the boy would drown before Gussie arrived to save him. He turned back to Neville and instead hit him with a memory charm just strong enough to erase the last few minutes. Then he loudly exclaimed,
"Accio Neville Longbottom!"
The dazed child shot up out of the collapsing waterspout into his arms, where he rested for barely a second before a furious Augusta tore Neville away from him.
"What in Merlin's name do you think you're doing?"
she screamed at Algy.
"Calm yourself, Gussie. I had the situation perfectly under control."
Said Algy smoothly.
"Under control? You were trying to drown him!"
If you could please stop making noise, kitty cat, that'd be absolutely tremendous. I know that's gonna get picked up by the recording. Uh-huh. Go to sleep, you're fine.
"I was placing the boy in an admittedly threatening situation, but under controlled circumstances in the hope that he would call upon his magic to save himself.
Several of my friends growing up first revealed their magic from being thrown into the deep end, as it were. It's as good a way to learn to swim as any, I think. Sadly, it's been 7 years and not even the threat of drowning has made his magic manifest. I know you're the boy's guardian and you care for him a great deal, as do I, but I am the Regent Longbottom. I have responsibilities to the entire family that trump my feelings for one little boy who is tragically disabled.
I don't want you anywhere near Neville ever again, Algy.
Augusta said coldly. I don't think that's your decision to make, Gussie. Not unless you wish to challenge my regency before the... Not unless you wish to challenge my regency before the Wizengamot. And I don't think they're likely to take the side of a seven-year-old with no magic.
He took a step towards her as she hugged the shivering boy.
You forget who you're speaking to, Gussie. And you forget by whose grace you're allowed to remain at Longbottom Manor.
Sometimes, Regent, I don't think you're that concerned about the family at all. Sometimes I think you're still just holding a childish grudge over Algy's old teddy bear.
Algy's eyes flashed dangerously. Then he smiled.
If you disapprove of my methods of getting the boy to show his magic, then come up with your own. After all, he continued mercilessly while staring right into Neville's eyes, you think he's a squib as much as I do. Now I suggest you take the boy home for some dry clothes. He'll catch his death out here like this.
Algy smiled once more and then apparated away.
End of chapter 14.